Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin made a rare television address Thursday night to his nation, and more appearances Friday morning to try and quell a corruption scandal that threatens to sink his Liberal government. But earlier this week, he undertook a decidedly broader task, a kind of business plan to try and restore Canada's lost military and diplomatic influence around the world. Marcus Gee is editorial page editor for The Globe and Mail. He joins us now from the studios of the CBC in Toronto. Mr. Gee, thanks very much for being with us.
Happy to be here.
First, just review for us the main allegations against Prime Minister Martin and the Liberal Party in this scandal.
Well, this thing broke in late 2003, just as Mr. Martin was taking office as Prime Minister. And the allegation is that tens of millions of dollars were funneled by the government to advertising firms as part of a program to promote Canadian unity in Quebec. And most of this money simply sort of disappeared into the ether. So the taxpayer was ripped off to the tune of about $100 million. Mr. Martin has been reeling from this whole thing ever since he took office.
Just to remind ourselves again, Jean Chrétien was then the prime minister and not Paul Martin.
That's right. This thing broke just as he left office, and he very neatly handed it right into the lap of Mr. Martin, who was his bitter rival for about 10 years.
Let's talk about this plan to try and revive Canada's military and diplomatic influence. As you understand it, what does this plan involve?
And this was a very sort of grand document that's taken months and months to put together. It was delayed several times because the government wasn't quite pleased with what it came up with. There's a lot of grand rhetoric in it about restoring Canada's place in the world. There's an acknowledgement that Canada is a bit down on its luck, its image, and its standing in the world have faded a little bit. And this paper says we must rebuild.
When we talk about the loss of Canada's role in international affairs, maybe we need to remind ourselves, stretching way back to Prime Minister Pearson, Canadians often saw themselves as a kind of third force and would lend its forces, particularly to UN peacekeeping missions, where they were considered quite useful because they were not only well-trained and highly competent forces, but they were not, let's say, from Britain or France, a former colonial power, and they were not from the United States, a superpower.
Pearson actually more or less invented peacekeeping when he helped arrange for the first peacekeepers to go into Suez in 1956. So Canada, ever since, has been a leading international peacekeeper. The problem is that recently our military, which of course supplies the peacekeepers, has been underfunded for at least a decade and more, actually, to the extent that our military spending is down there with Iceland's in terms of the proportion of our economy we devote to it. So we have about, I think, 1,500 men in the field right now, and even they are very stretched. We've had to cut back in places like Afghanistan where we've been deployed. This is the question. Is the government going to follow through and rebuild the military so that we can be a peacekeeper again?
Now, that would take more money, and it would certainly take several years. Let's take those questions sequentially. Is there the public support to do something that might involve raising taxes to increase the size of the Canadian military, particularly at a time when many Canadians probably don't feel under any immediate threat of assault as they might have during the Cold War?
No, that's true. But actually, Canadians, I think, have been fairly appalled by what's happened to our military. We've had several incidents where our people have been put in danger by inferior equipment. For instance, in Afghanistan, some soldiers were killed in a mine explosion because our jeeps are under-armored. We have rescue helicopters that are something like 30 years old and are always falling apart because of maintenance problems. So I think people realize if we're going to send people into risky situations, we have to equip them properly.
Mr. Gee, thanks very much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Marcus Gee heads the editorial page of The Globe and Mail in Toronto.